You know what time it is. It's time for Grating the Nerd. With your hosts, Tim and Zach. Take it away, boys.
Welcome back to Grating the Nerd. This is the show where Zach and I check out all kinds of things and then we chat about it. Aren't you lucky? Zach thinks it's all shit, and I think some of it's shit, but mine's a lot more solid than his. So, yeah. Hey, Zach, how's it going, man?
Not bad. How are you?
I'm not too bad, man. I'm starting to feel better. I'm getting over. Goddamn, I'm old. Like I was in Florida this week with the marching band, the high school marching band that my son's in, on a Disney trip, and we got back Wednesday afternoon, almost 5 o'clock, and I felt motion sick until I went to bed Thursday.
Jeez, you guys took a bus, didn't you?
Yeah, we took a bus, which didn't help, and I sat in the front seat because I wanted the extra leg room.
Right.
But then anytime somebody wanted to talk to me, I had to like turn around and face backwards while the bus was moving.
Right.
Yeah. And then like just riding the rides, I'm old and I'm fat. I found out that Universal doesn't really cater to fat people.
No, they don't.
No.
Most like of the world doesn't.
Yeah. I barely fit in most of the rides that were size dependent. Yeah, so got stuck in one too.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, that was fun. I think I pulled the lap bar down too tight because I was like, I wanted to be secure. And then they were like, pull up when it ended. And I did. And I was like, oh, it's a push down pull up. Well, I couldn't push it enough to like make it click to release. And so I just made it slightly tighter.
Oh, geez.
And then one of the guys that worked there came over and was like, here, you got to push down first. And he pushed down, but was not able to make it click. So it went slightly tighter.
Oh, God.
Then another guy came over and the two of them pushed on it together and made it slightly tighter, but it did not release. And then a third guy came over and he started to lean on it. And then he looked me in the face and he's like, you okay, chief? And I was like, I got one of those from a guy younger than me. You okay, chief? I was like, I go, yeah, I'm fine. I go, she do be tight, though. And he goes, that's why I'm asking. He's like, hold on, we'll have the booth release it. Like, yeah, it was fun. So, yeah, I was like, sorry, everyone. I'm a big, fat, disgusting man.
God, I can't even imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, it was crazy. Some really badass rides at Universal, though, but they don't have the luxury to just make rides that are half an acre big because they're out of space. I found this out from our tour guide. Apparently Disney, you know, because Walt was like, I'm going to make a utopian city. he bought all the land around all these other parks. So like, or maybe not him, Disney did. So like Universal and Busch Gardens and everything that's in Orlando there has no room to expand outward.
Oh,
because Disney owns all the land around them.
Are they using the land?
No. No, Disney.
That was intentional.
Yeah. Disney has so much land right now. Like, if you look at a map of Disney World, like, if you download their app, like, hey, we're going to Disney World. I want to look at a map of the place. Like, every land, or every park, you know, like Magic Kingdom and Hollywood Studios and Animal Kingdom and Epcot, they could all double or triple in size without touching each other.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of crazy. So, yeah, it was a good trip, though. But, man, so Universal does a lot with like 3D effects and like put on these 3D glasses and then we're going to just try to make you vomit. You know, like it's thrilling. And I'm like, it's not thrilling. It sucks. I mean, it's probably thrilling for people who don't get motion sick because they're not old. One of my daughter's friends that's in the band said that to me. I was like, oh, I'm feeling some motion sickness after that one. She goes, is it because you're old? I was like, yeah, it is. Thanks. But no, they have some badass rides down there, man. The Velocicoaster, which is Velociraptor Jurassic Park themed. I told somebody I worked with, and he was like, I was really hoping you were going to tell me it was Velocipastor
themed. Oh, I almost made that joke just now. I feel robbed.
you're in good company, because my buddy Tom is hilarious. So I was like, I wish, man, that would be awesome. Just like put on your 3D collars. but no, that ride was pretty badass. And I got to ride Hagrid's magical motorbike or whatever they call it. That was fun.
That sounds like a weird sex act.
Hagrid's magical motorbike.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Climb, straddle up, and then I'm going to lift my hips forward and spin you. Leviosa! So anyway, yeah, good times though. How was your week?
Okay, not too bad.
Awesome.
Not busy. Didn't do anything wonderful or anything like that. I spent a lot of time digging into information about ADHD.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, like, I don't know if I said it on the podcast. I don't even know if I told you. I might have told you, but like, my clinician that I see for my medication and everything, the doctor that I see for that,
yeah,
for my psychiatric help, she was like, you know, a while back, a different person diagnosed me with something that sort of made sense, but like there were parts of it that didn't add up to me. And so like there was a lot of discussion between me and a therapist and some other people. And like, some people were like, yeah, I don't think that really matches very well. And this new person that I'm seeing for treatment, she's like, she hasn't really full out told me that that's not accurate, but like, she did seem like she was like not of the opinion that that's what was going on. But then she goes, has anybody ever talked to you about ADHD? And I was like, no, they haven't. And we talked about it and we did some assessments, and this went on for a couple of different sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, everything's kind of pointing to the fact that you probably have it.
Nice.
And I was like, well, I guess, I mean, that's not terribly surprising, because my mom has it, my sister has it, and my son has it.
You're right. Right.
Yeah. But I'd never, like, even though my son has it and I have family that have it, I never really knew terribly much about it. So I started looking it up, and I'm like learning all these things about like stuff that people with ADHD do that I'm like, I've done that my whole life. Like,
right. Yeah. Yeah.
Like one of the things that really jumps out at me is like hyperfixation.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. I saw many posts about time birds this week.
You two posts, just two. I promise. Just two. That was a moment of hyperfixation for me. Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
That's part of the reason I didn't get much done this week, because I stayed up thinking about how I could make a fictitious creature work in a universe of our rules.
right. Yeah. Yeah. So what was the conclusion you came to with the ADHD research?
Oh, I am like, people have told me a lot, like I have a lot of different things, you know, like I have asthma, checks out, you know, I can't breathe. I have allergies, been to the hospital for that. That makes sense. Your back is crooked. Here's a picture of it. Yep. That looks right.
You
know, you're depressed. You probably have something called dysthymia, which means it's just a fancy medical term for long-term depression.
Okay.
Yep. That checks out. I've had that for years. We think you have ADHD. Okay. I can probably swallow that, because other people in my family have it that I'm related to.
Right.
Well, let me look into what ADHD people do. Yeah, I've done all of that.
Right. That's what
you're saying. And I still do.
Right. So no further official medical diagnosis, but you're pretty sure you're on that
I
track.
Of all the things people have told me, this makes the most sense of what's going on. And like, depression can go hand in hand with ADHD. So it's not like you can't have one and not the other, or, you know, whatever.
Right. Oh,
but,
yeah.
But it's like, there's just so much shit, man. It's like eye opening. And part of me is like, Why didn't anybody point this out to me like when I was younger? But then like, you know, like it was the, you know, the early to mid 90s. And so like, right. There were kids getting diagnosed with ADHD, but like people didn't know like the full breadth of what people with ADHD did.
Right. Right. And I think most of those kids were on the hyperactivity side of the,
And that was, was largely, and that's still sort of the frame of mind today is that like when people think ADHD, they think of hyperactivity. Right. And that's not necessarily something that all people with ADHD do. That's just one aspect of it.
Right. Right. I was going to say my brother-in-law, I think I've told this to you. I don't know if I mentioned on the podcast before, but my brother-in-law, they took one of my nieces to, because they thought like years ago, thought that she may have ADHD, and the doctor was going through the things and kind of like you said, the doctor was like, well, does she do this? And they were like, yeah, does she do this? And they get through this list. They get deep into this list. And my brother-in-law goes, hold on, everybody does that. And the doctor's like, not everybody. And he was like, I mean, I do that. And they were like, have you ever been tested? He was like, no. And so he told me about it. He's like, the test they give you is like an adult. One of the tests they gave him anyway, and this was, again, years ago, but they basically put you in front of a computer and it'll say like, we're going to flash either like symbols or letters or numbers up on the screen and only hit the space bar when these certain ones pop up. Right. And he's like, you would think with ADHD that you would miss them. Like it would be like, only push it when a three pops up, and a three would pop up and you'd just be like, oh, I wasn't really paying attention. But he goes, it's the opposite. He goes, I was pushing the space bar on ones and sevens and everything. And he's like, in my brain, I was like, don't push the space bar, but my fingers were doing it anyway. Uh-huh. And they basically got his results. They're like, oh yeah, you have really severe ADHD. And he was like, huh. And so, and then it was just funny because they were like, oh, you're going to have to take we gave you a prescription, you know? And then he was like, I like to imagine it was like a comedy, because he goes, so how long do I have to take these? And they were like, the rest of your life. Like, you know, like I like to imagine that they mentioned that at some point and he just wasn't paying attention. But he has less of the, like, not even being able to pay attention. He's told me, like, now that he's gotten settled in with it, he actually gets really testy when he misses his medicine. Like, he's like, everything bothers me and I get really irritable. Yeah. And, you know, and I'm like, oh, you know, that makes sense.
So that's like one of the things that, like, so the way I've always described it, and it's not going to sound good, it's going to sound like I'm a crazy person, but it sounds like in my head, there's a lot of like noise. Like it's just lots of consistent thought that's just flowing. And it almost seems like I'm stuck in a room full of loud conversation.
Right. Dude, I have that happen. Mine is not consistent.
Yeah.
But I have that happen a lot because I've actually thought about, I've been curious about the ADHD thing before too, but go ahead.
You might be. Your son has it. So, you know, and it's thought to be genetic, but like when they started me on Adderall. When I take the Adderall, like I can think, like, I don't have, like, because most of those thoughts are obsessive, intrusive thoughts. Like, you're not good enough. You're stupid. You're fat. You're worthless. Da, 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 da. And I don't have that when I'm on it. Like, I still get distracted by shit. Not nearly as much. And maybe my meds just need to be adjusted a little bit. Who knows? I mean, that's kind of whole process. But
right.
But those thoughts, like all that loud noise, it cuts through it so well. Like the difference is like day and night for me.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's been one of those things where like, I've thought about going and getting tested before, because I, like I said, I do have this. Mine's almost more of like I think you described it best though, like being in a room with loud conversation, and that'll happen when I'm just like laying in bed, like in the dark, like all of the sudden I obviously don't hear conversation loud, but I get the feeling in my brain as if I was in a room with people talking very loudly or yelling.
It's actually, and I'm
like, huh. So yeah, it's one of those things though where like I kind of like, well, I've been able to function, if I do have it, I've been able to function with it thus far, so maybe it'll be fine. But Yeah, I hear you say that where you're like, yeah, I can just, it cuts through the bullshit. I'm like,
it
oh.
really does. Huh. Like, I mean, I still get distracted by other stuff like I normally do. Like, and right. that wasn't even like, I wasn't even aware of how distracted I was getting of things until somebody pointed it out to me. But like, it really did cut through the noise a lot. That's and crazy. That makes like a tremendous difference to me because that noise affects my mood. And yeah. it also makes it like, I still get it like at night when all my meds have worn off.
Yeah.
But like, I also take something else to help me sleep. So it doesn't last nearly as long as it was before. Like before I was laying in bed late at night, like just ruminating on all the noise that I'm hearing and going,
right.
You know, and just feeling like shit, you know, and not yeah. sleeping, which makes it worse, you know, because then the next right. day that carries over.
And it's easier to get distracted when you're tired also, you know, yeah, because your mind's not hyper focused on what you're trying to like, what goal you're trying to accomplish. It's kind of like swimmy, I guess, for lack of a better term, your focus. And so it's easier for other things to cut in and be like, pay attention to me, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, interesting.
Man. So that's been my week. I mean, it's been kind of an eye-opening experience for me. I've learned a lot. I also looked into like, I wanted to know more about, like, I don't know if you know much about the Myers-Briggs 16 personality types.
Uh-huh.
I was curious about that. So I did some research in that. And it's weird because it's when you read them, to me, it's like a science-y horoscope.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's like, your personality type does this, and then they do this.
Right.
And on a full moon, it's like this.
7, 28, 13, and 5.
Oh. Yeah, that's what it's like. And it's and I was like, I do all that stuff. What's wrong with
right.
me?
Right. So it might surprise you to know this. I don't remember exactly what my four-letter designation is. But I do remember the extrovert is on there.
Oh, yeah.
So might surprise you.
Yeah. What's funny to me is when I was reading about mine, because mine is introverted. Surprise, surprise. Uh-huh. But it's also introverted, intuitive thinking and judging, which is not surprising to me either. Because
No. In fact, I probably, if you would have like laid them all in front of me and said, pick which one Zach is on these, I probably would have picked those four.
Yeah. It was like, you may be attracted to people who have an extroverted personality type because it's not part of your, you know, I don't want to say like skill set, but it's like not, it's like something that like you're, it's not in your life. And so like you feel drawn to that.
Yeah. Well, I'm flattered, but.
I think they meant attracted in the sense that you're drawn to those people.
Hey, whatever helps you sleep at night with the ADHD meds.
That's true.
No, that's
funny. Still learning new things.
I said that to my boss this week. She asked me a while back, her son is like into board games, and she goes, what's a good game? And I'm like, you know, I love Betrayal at House on the Hill, because I'm like, it feels cooperative, but then one of you becomes a traitor due to the game mechanics, and then it's everybody versus that one person, right? Mm-hmm. And so she bought it a while back for him, and they just never gotten to sit down and play it. And so she told me this week at work, she goes, I was actually thinking about you this week. I was like, I don't blame you. she started laughing. She's like, Jesus. All right. Anyway, we were playing this game. I was like, oh, yeah, sure.
That's funny.
Yeah. But no, that's crazy, man. do you want to talk new stuff very briefly before we get into what we're talking about this week?
Yeah.
All right. There's not a ton of news this week. Let's see. Morbius is not doing well in the box office. I don't know. Let me look. I don't know what the actual box office projections are. For Dr. Michael Morbius, it looks like it's made about $17 million thus far. So we're recording this on Sunday morning. I don't know if they've got Saturday in here yet. Let me look. No, they've only got Friday. So Thursday, Friday showings, it only made $17 million. That's not great.
Yeah, that's not good.
So I've read a lot of negative reviews. Rotten Tomatoes currently has it sitting at, I believe, a 16 or 17.
Ooh.
I haven't looked. 17.
That's rough.
Critic-wise. Yeah, that's pretty
I've heard
pretty rough.
Through a couple of different articles that the only good thing in the movie has been Mr. Matt Smith.
Yeah, you mentioned that. So yeah. It's sitting at a 69% audience rep wise. Nice. but still not great when you think about comic book movies and who sees them opening weekend, you know? Yeah.
So this is a tweet that they included in that article about how Matt Smith pretty much carries the movie. says, going to see Morbius knowing that the movie is absolute ass cheeks and that Sony shit the bed. But I hear that Matt Smith is great as usual, so at least he comes out okay in this.
Nice. Well, I mean, and he's playing that fan favorite, that comic book favorite character, Milo.
Mm-hmm. What a name.
Who the fuck that is? I'm sure it's somebody in the Morbius-averse. But whatever. Yeah, I laugh because when I went to Rotten Tomatoes, and I tried to take critic suggestions with a grain of salt, a large block of salt. But I just when you scroll down to the reviews, it's all negative, and there's one positive one up in the top. And the positive note is, or the quote is, Morbius has no reason to exist as an actual movie, but maybe that's why it worked for me. I'm like, damn, that's hard to put on a poster, right? Another positive review was Jared Leto trades in his clown shoes for fangs. And of course, it's as silly and bad as you thought. However, it's never not entertaining. And Matt Smith understood the assignment.
That's funny.
Oh, Jesus, man. Ridiculous. Anyway, in other news, Sonic the Hedgehog 2 is getting pretty good early reviews. It doesn't come out till next week worldwide, I don't believe, but it's getting some good reviews. One says this fan-pleasing adventure is a game we'll happily play again. So, good on it. I like the first one. I thought the first one was fun. Yeah. All right. So, oh my God. My favorite week of the year, my favorite day of the year happened this week. April Fools. So that the internet is just rife with people thinking they're clever with fake news stories. I saw one that Elon Musk got arrested at a rave for celebrating the launch of the new German Tesla factory or whatever. And I was like, really? And so, of course, like a Alzheimer's patient, I wandered back to the clickbait and said, really? And I clicked on it and it was like April Fools. And I was like, get the fuck out of here. The one I did sort of enjoy because it looks highly Photoshopped and doesn't look real at all. But did you see Bruce Campbell posted a tweet saying, I always feel a little strange when I work on a Sam Raimi movie. And it was a makeup artist applying Doctor Strange makeup to him.
No, I didn't say that.
Yeah. Because it's already been confirmed that he is in the Multiverse of Madness.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's going to have a small cameo role in it. And then I've also heard a thing that said, hey, Multiverse of Madness is going to make Evil Dead fans happy. And I was like, is he going to be playing Ash? Like, I don't know who owns those. I mean, I don't think Disney and Marvel definitely doesn't own the movie rights to that. But I don't know if they do comic stuff with them or, you know. So at least I don't think they own the rights. Anyway. So he came out with that April Fool's joke and it looks super fake. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of funny because it looks really fakey. Whatever. The other thing that in the last bit of news that I have. Because I thought it was an April Fool's joke, but it was not, apparently, is that Marvel Comics, just without saying it, suggested that Jesus of Nazareth was a mutant, not a god. I thought it came out, this news came out a few days ago, either I think right before April 1st, and I was thinking, this is April Fool's joke. And so I looked it up, and apparently not. In the Immortal X-Men number one, Hope Summers, who we know as, I think, Cable's daughter. At least she is in the MCU, or in the Deadpool-averse of the movies. I don't remember if she actually is in the comics, but she is related to the Summers family. You know, Jean Grey, Scott Summers, Cable, all those folk. She's talking with a mutant called Exodus, appropriately named. And he mentions to her at one point, the Nazarene mutant inspired a church among the humans by raising a couple from the dead. Yeah. I was like, wait a second. Like, they just said Jesus. I was like, that's, my daughter pointed out, she goes, that's got to make Nightcrawler really mad. Because, you know, he's a devout Catholic in the comics. So,
right.
Yeah, but I thought that was weird. I was like, feels like a risky move by them, you know?
Yeah, it does.
Because I feel like you got to have some Christian readers that are going to be like, fuck off. I mean, they won't say that because they don't want to go to hell. They'll say, that's not right, but I love you anyway, except you're going to hell. But anyway, yeah, that was the last little bit of news. Jesus might be a mutant in the MCU if he ever comes about someday.
Works for me.
Yeah, he is in the comics, at least, according to that, or it's highly hinted. They didn't say Jesus, but they said the Nazarene mutant and talked about him raising a couple people from the dead. So that's got to be him. So, all right. Well, do you want to get into what we're talking about this week?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. So I have a question for you, Zach.
All right. Lay it on me.
Did you ever imagine that you wanted to see Bert, the chimney sweep from Mary Poppins, discover that he could fight like a demon and take on the establishment that is the Future Crimes Division from Minority Report?
No, I didn't.
Not something that ever crossed my mind, but goddamn, I'm happy it's here. That's right. We're going to talk about Moon Knight. And yeah. The one thing that confuses me about Moon Knight is with that accent, how did they not get little Tommy Hollins to play him?
I don't think it's that bad. I really don't. I actually read a Gizmodo article that was written by the resident British person who said it wasn't that bad.
Oh, does he speak for all British people?
I think so. His credentials he laid out in the article.
That was his credentials. So their British person, they're British, but that sounds so weird. They're limey. That's better. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there you go.
Said that he liked that accent, huh? Or is it a he? It might be a she. It's 2022.
I think it's a he.
Okay. It's 2022. British people can be female.
James Whitbrook.
James Whitbrook. I guess if he says it's good, I'm okay with it. Cause what do I mean, I'm from the Midwest. Like, every person who talks slightly different than us, we're like, where the hell are you from?
I mean, so he didn't say it was great. He didn't like knock his socks off. He pointed out that he said some goofy things that like sounded like vaguely like little Britishisms, like later gators. And stuff
Laters
like,
gators?
Yeah,
Laters gators.
Laters gators. He's like, that sounds like something a British person would say, but he's like, I've never heard a British person say that. he said it wasn't as bad as like he's hearing a lot of people who aren't native Britons say it.
Right, right. I think it's one of those that we've all heard Oscar Isaac talk in a number of things.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he comes out and he sounds like little Tommy Hollins, we're like, what is happening?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, yeah.
It wasn't like, but like, so the thing is like, I watched it knowing that he doesn't speak like that. And I was like, okay, that sounds good enough. Like, I'm not like gonna, it's not like, you know, he doesn't sound like Dick Van Dyke. You know, to me, it's not
doesn't
that.
He?
No, it's not no, that.
He
bad.
Doesn't. He doesn't. I'm joking.
Yeah.
I'm joking. I think it's definitely just the shock of it being Oscar Isaac talking that way that made me kind of go, wow. But it's really not bad. I mean, he sounds like he's probably having taking the lift down to the street and a lorry over to have a fish and chip, you know.
Fish
like,
and chip. Go back to
have
flat
a fish
later.
And chip. I talked to my flatmate. He's a goldfish.
Yeah. Goldfish called Gus.
Oh, man. You know he says the word cunt a lot.
I'm sure. He did say knob.
British people love that word, which makes me feel international because I think it's the bee's knees also. Nothing better than calling someone a hard C, you know?
Yeah, I can't do it.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why. I just
do it. Here, let's.
Gross.
It does at first. It's at like first. Anything else, though. It's like craft beer. At first, it's nasty, but just keep drinking it. You'll get there. let's do it together. Come on. We'll do it on the count of three. One, two, three.
Vagina.
No, you son of a bitch. You son of a bitch. I was waiting for you to lead in with the cut, and then I was going to join you. Yeah, so anyway, we meet Stephen Grant, who is not like Stephen Grant in the comics at all.
No.
Stephen Grant in the comics is a financier for movies and other things, and this guy works at a gift shop in a history museum.
He's timid, and
he is quite timid.
Yeah. And so, like, one of the things about him in this is that I get the impression that he doesn't know that he's a personality from somebody's DID. He thinks he has a sleeping disorder.
Yeah, I think that too. He definitely thinks he's just a sleepwalker.
Yeah.
So hot take, before we get too much deeper into it, hot take, what did you think of episode one?
I liked it. I liked it quite a bit, actually, even though it doesn't really reveal a lot.
Yeah, it doesn't.
It gave, it was, so we talked about this before when we were thinking about talking about this show, is that, like, from the trailers, it looks like it kind of, like, jumps around a lot, you know, dovetailing from one scene into the next, where there's, like, lost time kind of thing. Yep. And he's unaware of what has just happened to him or in the surroundings. And that was kind of cool, because it makes, it leaves you yearning for, like, what is this other personality? Like, what does he do? Like, how is he much different?
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Yeah. I agree with you. I will say the one thing, I'm glad that we read some Moon Knight comics before going into this.
Yeah, me too.
And I think that's pretty evident, because somebody I work with texted me yesterday and was like, "Hey, I finally got to watch the first episode. Man, it's like a lot of buildup with no payoff. I hope it gets better." So, really? Like, somebody who doesn't really know anything about the character felt kind of lost watching this first episode.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, I could too. I was like, I can't disagree with you, man. I'm like, I think the Marvel shows for the most part have paid off pretty well. You know, they've got a pretty good track record so far. And so I'm like, I'm thinking they're going to pull it together. But yeah, like, if you've never read anything about Moon Knight or know very little about the character, this might be confusing as shit. There's no action in it, you know?
Yeah.
I was talking to somebody else I worked with, and I was like, a podcast I listened to, the Weekly Planet, they were talking about this, and they said, "Wouldn't it be funny if we go the whole season and every time there's an action scene, he blacks out and we just don't see it at all?"
That would be really funny.
He just wakes up surrounded by people. I'm like, that would be funny and also infuriating.
Yeah.
I think that the lack of action in this one might turn off some viewers. I would say, having read some Moon Knight, and if you've not watched any other Marvel shows or very few, I think they're going to pull it back around. So stick with it.
Yeah.
You know, that being said, I did also watch the review, the spoiler free and first episode spoilers, after I watched the episode, from the Angry Joe show. And then I cut it off before their extended spoilers, because apparently they, as part of the media, were able to get an early view of the first four episodes.
Oh, wow. That's most of the series.
Yeah. And they said they're still yearning for some more action.
Really?
Yeah. They said, they go, there's more action in episodes two and three, but it doesn't, they're like, it's not escalating. Like, they were like, we expected him to be beating people's ass like Ben Affleck's Batman by like episode three or four, like on screen. And they're like, we just don't get that. Well, they're like, we get some good action, but it's not escalating as quickly as they were hoping it would with the kind of character he is. And I was like, interesting. So I'm interested to see now, like, what goes down in coming weeks, you know? So, yeah, I mean, what do you think of the cinematic techniques they are using in this to show that he's like a person who's not sleeping well and who might be sleepwalking? And, you know, it felt a little like New Girl in the Big City movie trope, where he's like falling asleep on the bus against the guy's shoulder. And, you know, like it kind of felt that way to me a little bit. And I was like, all right, I see what you're going for. It's a little tropey, but I'm not mad at it, you know?
Yeah.
But what did you think of how they did all that kind of stuff?
I didn't mind that, really.
Okay.
Like, I had a feeling I was going to enjoy this show from the outset, but yeah. Like, I think I'm enjoying it a lot, even more than I thought I was going to.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. I know that it didn't have a ton of action, but I was kind of okay with that. I like the idea of like there being some more like layered mystery to this. Like,
yeah,
maybe not like all of the personalities come forward. Like, I especially like the fact that like, so Moon Knight is Mark Spector. So Mark Spector is like, we'll call it the default personality.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
We don't open the show with Mark Spector. We open the show from the perspective of one of his other alternate personalities.
Yeah.
Who is completely unaware of what else is going on in his life.
Absolutely.
Like, the thing is like, so like Mark has had, according to the comics, has had DID since he was a child, you know, that it developed in his childhood, which tracks for people who actually have DID. It usually is triggered by abuse, neglect. Sometimes it appears in adults, but that's usually from something like traumatic PTSD type related things, war situations, stuff like that.
Right.
It usually appears from a childhood trauma related incident. And so he has personalities. So like Stephen Grant and Jake Lockley, there's also an inner child that doesn't have a name, and there's an astronaut. But then as an adult, he seems to lose some of these other personalities and he gains new ones like Mr. Knight.
Right.
And you know, but Mr. Knight seems to be connected directly to Khonshu in the way that Moon Knight is connected directly to Khonshu.
Moon Knight
is Mark Spector. They're not different. They're the same person.
Yeah.
You know, it's very layered, very interesting set of personalities. And in the comics, at least the ones that we read, you don't get a clear sense of whether or not he really has DID or whether or not his personalities are just aspects of Khonshu, because Khonshu has different forms.
Right. Yep.
But I'm getting the feeling that they're leaning more into the DID thing in this.
Yeah, which I'm okay with. I like
am
too. That.
I think that it's really interesting because you don't really think of superheroes as being mentally unbalanced or having you know disorders or mental illness like this.
Right.
Batman certainly does. Batman definitely has PTSD, but they don't talk about that. You know,
right. They don't delve into it ever.
Right. Yeah. So like,
or rarely. I shouldn't say ever, but rarely.
Yeah. Right. So like when you think of Batman, you don't think of like all the talk about PTSD. He definitely has it. Like this is my armchair doctor sort of diagnosis. I'm not a licensed medical professional, but like he has all the characteristics of it. He has the hallmarks of PTSD.
Right.
I'm sure he has other issues. I just, you know, but like you don't hear about that in superheroes. They're very unflawed in most cases.
Right. Which we've talked about before is why I enjoy Marvel comics more than DC comics, because until relatively recently in the whole history of comic books, DC heroes were always these like larger than life Boy Scout kind of perfect paragons of humanity or, you know, alien kind or whatever.
Yes.
Where Marvel characters are like, no, this guy is depressed all the time. Yeah. You know, like they're flawed people who just happen to have powers.
Right. And that's a very fair point. Like, it's not something that I really thought about until relatively recently. And the fact that we have like a superhero type character who has a mental illness, a mental disorder like this is very interesting to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's very cool. I enjoyed because one of the things that we've talked about in the comics we read about Moon Knight is it's interesting that it hits a point where the different personalities start communicating with each other. And he almost sees these like ghostly versions of the other characters. Right. I like how they did that in this episode with the mirror where he's,
that was
at
so cool. I loved that scene. I absolutely loved that scene. It was like the climax of the episode. Yep. But like one of the coolest things about that scene is when he's standing there in the bathroom with mirrors on either side of him facing yep. each other. And so the mirrors create that layered mirrored image that kind of goes on ad infinitum. Right.
Right.
It just looks like an extending hallway.
Yeah. Yeah.
His reflection is there, but it's only one reflection. It's not a layered reflection. It's right. just the one version of him. And then it turns and starts talking to him. And it was right. so cool.
Yeah. It steps out. And yeah. I love they did a great job where that reflection, you see it go from that position where he's like kind of hugging himself a little bit because he's scared.
Mm-hmm.
And it steps out and immediately uncrosses its arms and is confident and is like,
yeah.
I can save us. You got to stop fighting me. And right. I was like, whoa, that's badass. You know, like,
yeah.
I thought that was very cool the way they did that.
Yeah. So like I did a lot of reading about DID. I'm still, like I said before, by no means an expert, but like I right. wondered a lot about like in that scene, you have Mark who is apparently aware of the fact that he is another personality of the same being.
Yeah.
And then you have Steven who has no clue what's going on.
Right.
I wondered about how that works for people with DID. How are they aware of their other personalities? Can they communicate with their other personalities? Or, you know, does this make any sense at all? You know, or is this just some sort of artistic representation of what they think this would look like? And that's right, fine right. if that's what it is.
Yeah.
But it really varies. It varies a lot from person to person. Yeah. It varies a lot from person to person.
Because I guess I was always kind of under the assumption that that in the real world, people with DID did not communicate personality to personality.
Yeah, so I didn't think so either, but some of them can.
Wild.
Some of them have. And what's weird is like you might have multiple personalities and let's say you have three. One of them might know that they are an alternate personality and they know of the other personalities and can sometimes access their memories.
Okay.
But the other personalities might still not be aware of them or each other.
Gotcha. Okay.
It's really weird. Like the way that it works, it's so, you wouldn't think that it's so easy to like it coexist within the same brain and not right. know about each other, but it happens. And then you have personalities within those complex types of diagnoses that are aware of what's going on, that do know of their other personalities and can on some level communicate with them, but like they might not be able, the other one might not be able to communicate back, might not know what's going on. Do you have like the thing with Steven where he doesn't remember what's happened? He's lost time. That's a real thing.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's an amnesia element. That's part of DID where they just have, they completely lose track of what's happened to them.
Right. Right.
And the other one maintains those other personality maintains those memories.
Okay.
And like, it's just so, and then like, it appears differently. Oh, there's like, it's weird because like, it appears differently in different parts of the world, depending on your culture. So like the culture that you grow up with can have a huge impact on how multiple personalities in DID manifest themselves.
Gotcha.
So like in a culture where there's a lot of superstition and things like that, one of your personalities could be a spirit or a ghost or a demon or a deity even. And it's very strange how much impact the culture has on that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's wild. Yeah.
And so those people go undiagnosed for long periods of time because depending on, you know, how open that culture is to other parts of the world that study these types of things.
Yeah.
They may just think that person's just possessed.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. Just knowing, you know, how culture works, that makes sense that a culture that heavily believes in things like that would just be like, I don't know. Yeah. Like it's just, it's not a mental condition. You're just, you have a ghost in you.
Yeah.
You know, like
it's very fascinating.
Yeah.
That's
wild. Interesting. All right. So what do you think the deal with the fish is?
What do you mean?
So obviously he has a fish that's Nemo'd, you know, it's only got one fin.
It has one fin.
And then 2 days later, when he comes back, he doesn't realize it's been 2 days, but the fish has two fins. Yeah. And so it's pretty obvious that he's replaced it because when he goes to the pet store to complain, they were like, listen, I told you yesterday, we don't have any fish with one fin, you know?
Yeah.
So do you think that's a tool that the Mark Spector personality is using to try to keep the Stephen Grant personality sort of grounded and from keep him from like freaking out? Or like, do you think the fish is some sort of like, because it's obvious that he went back as Mark Spector and bought this, right, or some other personality, maybe not Mark Spector, but some other personality and bought a new fish.
Mm-hmm. It would have to be a personality that's aware of Stephen.
Right. Because Stephen was doing this fish
for the purpose of Stephen. Right.
Right. Right. So I was wondering about that. Marvel also released a character poster for the fish.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah. That's which funny. I thought was kind of funny. Also, they released a character poster for the cupcake, which I thought was funny that he was smashing in the guy's face to try to get away.
Okay.
So I'm like, all right. I thought that was intriguing that another persona or another personality would go to those lengths to be like, and maybe the fish died or something and was like, oh no, like he's mm-hmm. going to lose it and we're not going to be okay if he wakes up and there's no fish there, you know?
Right. Yeah. I definitely think that it has something to do with maintaining some level of control over Stephen.
Yeah.
You know, cause he would be unstable or unpredictable potentially.
Right. Right. He seems to be doing okay. I mean, for as much as they kind of play the first episode to be like, Steven's a loser. This is a guy that's a loser. He's such mm-hmm. a loser. He had a date with that one lady from the museum.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, good on you. I mean, you look like Oscar Isaac, so that doesn't hurt. You know? I mean, like, you know, it's like, if you grew a beard out, Zach would be jumping.
I know.
But
I was watching the show and I was like, you know what he's missing right now? A beard.
A big old bushy beard.
Big old bushy beard. That's doing it for me. It's like, I think I love Oscar Isaac.
Yeah, hey, man. Hey, he seems like an easy dude to love. Anyway, but yeah, he scored a date with that lady, probably as Mark.
Yeah,
I would assume
almost certainly as Mark.
almost certainly. But she doesn't seem to like be like, what happened to your accent?
Uh-huh.
At all.
That's true.
Which
That's
is
true.
Very weird to me. Uh-huh. So was it? So then in my mind, was Mark like, hello, love, you know, like trying to do a British accent?
Yeah.
Just like, you know, fancy a cuppa.
I want to hear that version of him do that. You know,
I think it would be funny if they did
that. I think
that.
It would be like, hilarious.
Doing a bad accent, like once they're more aware of each other, and then like Stephen being like, what the fuck was that?
Stephen to be like, that was offensive.
yeah. I think that kind of shit would be amazing.
That would be really funny.
Yeah, but we do see when he does find the phone, we see mm-hmm. missed call after missed call from Layla, right?
Right.
Who we think is kind of the, I forget her name from the comics, his love interest.
Is it Marlene? Is that right?
Marlene.
Yeah,
Marlene. I'm thinking Layla might be kind of a stand-in character for Marlene in this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that for a fact, but it seems that. But then as he's scrolling through the missed calls, we have one from Duchamp, who is Frenchie.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw that.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, God, Frenchie. He's going to be in it, which they cast him a long time ago. So we kind of knew he was going to be in it. But I was kind of excited to see that, though.
That
was
like, funny.
All right. It was interesting to find that Arthur Harrow is a follower of Amit, mm-hmm. who in the one series I read, The Escape from New Egypt, that heavily featured Amut, which I Googled and I was like, are that the same god? And it is. Mm-hmm. It's just two different versions. So I was like, interesting. Okay. You know, I did see something very interesting on, I believe it was Screen Crush. After I watched this, I was watching. They were like, they talk, you know, Arthur Harrow talks a lot about being the avatar of Amit, and mm-hmm. how we assume Mark is like the avatar of Khonshu, you know. And then Ryan Airy on Screen Crush brought up, isn't the first time that we've seen an avatar of an Egyptian god in the MCU. And I was like, do tell, you know, and he mentions that in Black Panther, they talk about how their tribes worship the god Bast, which is an Egyptian goddess.
Oh.
And I was like, shit, they do. And he was like, so it is the Black Panther then the avatar of Bast? And I was like, holy hell, like my mind is racing now, you know, because I was like, oh, my God. Yeah, they did say that they worship Bast, the, you know, which I think in Egyptian culture, she's typically like a lioness. And obviously in Black Panther, she's a panther, you know, but I was like, holy shit. Like that just like when he said that, I was like, mind blown, you know. I was the guy with the glasses going I don't know, what do you think of that, man?
I don't know, it's kind of cool.
I know, right? Well, and then his point was, so he goes, we obviously know that in the comic backstory, according to Mark, Khonshu resurrected him, right? He was in fact dead and Khonshu brought him back to life.
Okay.
And he was like, so his point was, so could we see Bast also bring somebody back to life? Maybe like Eric Killmonger to take on the role of Black Panther, like change his, you know, bring him back to life and give him a second chance at life. And I was like, holy shit. What if that's how they do it? You know, like, but they mentioned in the first Black Panther movie that they worship Bast and she kind of appears as a large panther.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was like, that is really intriguing to me now. Kind of wild, you know?
Yeah.
Something I hadn't even entertained.
I didn't realize that Khonshu was a real god until I started doing a little bit more digging. I thought it was a made up thing for Marvel.
Oh, yeah. No. And so is Amit. Amit is weird, man. Amit's a like crocodile headed lion forebody hippo rear body god. And I'm like, interesting. I mean, it's certainly a interesting take on a creature. You know, and actually, if you look up Amit, there's one really cool picture that pops up from like a YouTube video. It's Amit, the Devourer of Souls. If you just do Amit and go to images, it's got the like crocodile head with like a mane and then the like the hippo rear with a big crocodile tail. And I'm like, that's how I hope that Amit appears. If Amit does, in fact, appear in this series, because that's badass looking.
Yeah, it's looking. Yeah, Chimera-esque. Yeah.
Right. So Arthur Harrow, do you still think that he might actually be somebody else just using that as a pseudonym?
Maybe. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either, because he definitely seems to be kind of on the level with who he is and what he's doing, even though it's nefarious. You know, he's like sucking the life out of old ladies in the street.
Right.
Eric Voss on New Rock Stars made a very funny comment when she was like, I've done nothing wrong. And he's like, with that accent, ma'am, where did you think those soldiers were marching? he goes, with that accent and how old you are. Oh, come on. You were at least complicit. I was like, oh, my God. I was like, that's a quality joke. That's an underrated joke because Mastertainment that was doing the video with him did not laugh nearly as much as I did. I was like, that is a quality joke, Eric Voss. what a weird cult, man. Like, it is very Minority Report pre-crime division. Like, we judge you based on what you've done or what you will do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's true. I didn't think about that.
Because she was like, I've done nothing wrong. And he's like, well, then you're going to. I'm sorry. You know? And I was like, okay. that's harsh, you know, but again, it's taking like kind of the free will out of it all. Like, well, you're going to do something, but what if I don't, now that I know that I'm going to, well, you're going to, so we're going to murder you in the street. Yeah. I thought there was some good comedy in this too, though, you know, like for being such dark kind of themes and discussions, there was some good levity in this episode as well. Particularly, I was thinking of that scene when he's like, he says the magic phrase or whatever to get them all to kneel. And then Mark or Steven is standing there and he's like, oh, shit. You know, like, I thought that was really funny.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I also like when he woke up in the field with the dislocated jaw. The jaw itself was rough see. But then when he stood up and just started waving at that guy.
Starts
waving back. Yeah. I was telling somebody I work with this week, we were discussing, I said, that's why like the dance off bro scene, while it went a little too long in Guardians of the Galaxy, I don't mind shit like that because I'm like, throwing people that far off the rhythm, that shit works, you know, like, so like he just waves at a guy that's chased to the window after him, holding a gun. And the guy's human nature is just to wave back at him, you know, like, and so I thought that was really funny. I like stuff like that. I'm like, cause it's so different, you know?
Yeah.
You know, there was a little bit of humor with the kind of drifting in and out while he was in the cupcake van. You know, I thought that was kind of funny because, like, we saw that in the trailer, but he wakes up with the gun. He's like, ah, and then he sees the guy with the bullet hole in his head and he's like, ah, you know, like,
yeah,
like, what the hell happened? I thought that was good. And then later in that same the one I mentioned earlier with the kneeling thing, I thought it was good physical humor when he's trying to give the scarab to Arthur and Mark or Khonshu or whoever will not let him.
Yeah.
That was funny, you know. I mean, it wasn't like side splitting, but it was good physical humor, I thought.
Yeah. No, I enjoyed it. I really liked this episode a lot. I'm really looking forward to the rest of this.
Yeah, me too, man. I'm excited to see where it goes. You know, we talked a little bit about what's in his head versus what's real. And one of the things that I heard somebody point out, and then I kind of went back and watched again, when he does allow Mark to take over, when the jackal is coming in, right?
Mm-hmm.
The jackal creature, and he starts, the Moon Knight costume starts to form around him. It's not happening in any of his reflections.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Which then leads me to believe, like, is there even a costume or is it just all in his head?
Yeah.
You know? So I don't know. I find that really intriguing, though, that it wasn't happening in the reflections. The reflections are just still standing there kind of shaking. And I was like, interesting, like that'll be an interesting take. Or it makes me wonder if like the Mr. Knight costume might be what his actual costume is. And, you know, when he's in the Moon Knight costume, that's just all in his head. I think that could be an interesting take on it as well.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I'm interested to see, but. I'm with you, man. I dug this. I'm interested to see where it goes. I think it's been done well. I do agree that it was probably a bit confusing and a little light on action for your average viewer who doesn't know the character very well.
Right.
Maybe a little hard to follow even. Yeah, man, I'm on board. It probably wasn't quite as strong of an opening as I was hoping for in regard to, I wanted more Moon Knight, obviously, but I think that the slow burn is okay with a character like this.
I do too.
Because like to your point, they're really delving into the mental side of it, which I'm okay with.
Yeah. So it's doing really well on Rotten Tomatoes right now.
Is it? Okay, cool.
Yeah. 94% average audience score.
Nice. Nice.
And,
okay.
The average Tomometer is 87. So that's still pretty good. It's dived down a bit on IMDb, but I read an article about how it's so on IMDb, it's 7.5. I read an article about how there's a lot of people or something.
Yes. That, I heard about this.
You read about this? Okay.
Yeah.
There's a scene where, Ethan Hawke's character, Arthur, mentions like atrocities towards mankind and lists, you know, some of the world's greatest hits like Hitler and stuff like that. And
yeah. And Pol Pot.
And then he mentions, was it an Armenian genocide?
Yeah. The Armenian genocide.
Yeah. Something that I guess the Turkish government still denies ever happened.
Right.
And so a lot of people said that this was propaganda and one starred the show on IMDb.
right. Yeah. I'd heard about this, the review bombing.
Yeah. It doesn't appear to have affected its Rotten Tomatoes.
Rotten Tomatoes has taken steps as of late, I know, with some of the other review bombs that have come somewhat recently. They've taken more steps to try to call those out of the actual reviews.
That's good.
So I remember hearing that they said they were going to start monitoring that a lot more closely.
That's good.
Yeah. I mean, I just, it's one of those things where, again, it's, if if you piss off a bunch of fuckheads, you're probably doing okay.
Yeah.
And I will fully admit, I have no, not my pig, not my farm. I have no stake in the Armenian genocide or the discussion over it.
I don't know enough about it to be an expert, but
same here. But if it's something that clearly happened, mm-hmm. and one small group of people is going, no, it didn't, much like the Holocaust, we still right. have idiots that are like, nah, that never happened. And I'm like, mm-hmm. really? Because there's a lot of historical evidence that it did. Fuck off.
Right.
I don't know, man. That's just, it seems like such a weird way to try to get your point across. Like, I'm going to one star this Disney show. That'll let people know that this never happened. Will it?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Can you go away from the computer and just hate people over there? Cause I'm sure that's what you're doing. Just hating some group of people for one reason or another, dumb. Anyway. Yeah. I did hear about that though. I read just a little brief snippet about the review bombing. It seems like it's doing okay with that though.
It does seem like it's doing good. And I'm glad about that. Cause like I said, it may not be everyone's cup of tea because it wasn't like, explosive with action, but like,
I
still really enjoyed it. Like I still thought it was really good so far. So, and like, that's the thing is like with most of these Marvel shows,
yeah,
most of them did not get my attention on the first episode.
Right. True. Very true. I mean, we talked about, I tried to remind people, I'm like, remember when WandaVision started? I know people that stopped watching after episode 2 because they were like, that's not my cup of tea. And I'm like, keep watching. It changes. And they were like, right. and somebody I know went back and finished watching it and was like, oh, okay, it got way better. Like I thought it was going to be that through the whole thing. And I'm like, I don't know. Like part of me is like, how could you imagine that was going to be all there was through the whole run? I don't know. But, I'm with you. I'm here for it. I'm interested to see what his future looks like because I don't know if you saw this. I read an article this week where Oscar Isaac said he's not signed into a multi-project deal like most Marvel actors.
I did see that. So he was quoted as saying that like the future of him as Moon Knight depends largely on how this show does and whether people really want to see more of him.
Right, right. Which is intriguing to me. And he kind of said, and he was like, fortunately, I am an actor who gets regular work. So I was in a position to say, like, I don't want to be locked in just because.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're willing to deal with this, great. It sounds amazing. If not, best of luck with your show. I'm just not your guy,
Right.
That is intriguing to me. But I feel like he's probably a bit gun-shy after Star Wars. He went into Star Wars. He did something that the whole cast and crew was proud of. And I still say rightfully so. And then everybody crucified them and was like, this is the biggest atrocity since the Armenian genocide.
Jesus.
people were losing their goddamn minds over that first movie. And we're like, this is awful. They should not quit making Star Wars movies. You're all bad people. And, I could see where all of them would be like, nah, I'm not eager to get into that again.
Yeah. No, I don't blame them. I mean, I don't think there's we've talked about Star Wars fans and how there's varying degrees of them. But like for me, all of them are toxic. So like I like Star Wars enough and I still haven't seen the last movie. I can't bring myself to do it. It's not like that I hate it, but it's like at this point it feels like a chore.
I don't know, man. I enjoyed it. I think you should watch it.
I don't. Of the other new ones that have come out featuring girl Jedi whose name has eluded me.
Rey.
Thank you. Of featuring that character, I don't have a problem with them. I think they're fine movies. I enjoyed them.
Exactly.
I think they're great. There's nothing wrong with it. Like, right. But like,
and that's kind of where I sit too.
The people who are like, it's garbage. It goes against this. It does that. It like shit on George Lucas's proverbial grave, and he's not even in it yet.
It's right. It they're filling it up with shit to dunk him in when he dies. Yeah,
I don't understand that. I don't have that level of toxic fandom towards anything.
Same here. Yeah.
You know,
yeah. I agree completely. I mean, and I think a lot of it is just getting older, you know, like for me anyway, because I remember when they cast Chris Evans as Captain America, and we worked together at that time. I'm sure I showed you the picture. I was like, holy shit, he buffed up like crazy. Uh-huh. His hair's not blonde enough. You know, set photo. And I was like, his hair's not blonde enough. And then quickly, quickly, even with that, I was like, who gives a shit? You know, yeah. like whatever. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a funny stance for me to take, because I come on here and shit on things like Jared Leto's performance as the Joker, and probably will over his performance as Morbius whenever I see mm-hmm. it.
Yeah.
But I'm just not to that point where I'm like, you know, you're a bad person. You should go away and die. I mean, I think he's a bad person for other reasons, but not because of his acting, you know?
Right. Yeah.
In fact, I liked him. I like him as an actor in most things I see him in. Just because I disagree with how one movie is made is not the end of the world. And so I don't get that, but it does make me understand why somebody like Oscar Isaac would be like, no, I'm not going to sign a six project deal. Like, if this does well, I will gladly sign on to another one, but I'm not going to do it up front, because if it's awful, you know, I mean, here's how I think about it. Imagine if Finn Jones had been in that position, and then Marvel would have just been like, nope, we're putting Iron Fist in everything going forward, because we want him in Shang-Chi 2. We want him in the Ten Rings TV show. And Finn Jones would be like, everybody hates me, you know, like, well, contractually, you got to be in these.
Yeah.
Like, and I think Marvel realizes that too. Like, no, because then they're going to phone it in, and our fandom's just going to get mad. And so it's better to do these at a lesser scale if available, you know?
Yeah, no, I understand it.
So, yeah. So I don't know, man. I'm into this though. I'm into Moon Knight. I'm hoping that it continues to improve, continues to get better. And, you know, hope that I'm still as happy with it at the end. Hopefully I'm more happy with it at the end even. So
yeah.
If you've watched Moon Knight, let us know what you think.
Yeah, send us an email,
you know, reach out to us, let us know if we're on the one end of the spectrum just because we've read some comics and have done some research on the background, or let us know if you're right with us and think that it's doing all right. I don't know, man. Any other parting thoughts on Moon Knight episode one?
No, man, I really enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to the rest of the series.
Yeah, me too, man. So We've got another one coming up this week. I think it, like you mentioned, it's a 6-episode series. Should take us into early May. And then after that, we'll be looking at Obi-Wan coming up, yeah. Which I know you're excited about that.
Yeah, I think they pushed that back a week. Yeah, they're talking about releasing 2 episodes at once because of that. I'm not sure why. I don't know what
really?
The reason okay. was for pushing back.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. But I think it is still scheduled. Is it still scheduled?
It's
for
still May.
Late May.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I think I did see that then, because it's scheduled for like toward the end of the month, I believe, in May.
So, right. It's going to be like the 25th or something now. So
Yeah. All right. Well, sounds good, man. Until next week when we talk more Moon Knight.
Until next time.
See ya.
Later.
Greeting the Nerd was recorded and produced by Zach Boyd and Tim Witham in Dayton, Ohio. If you liked our show, subscribe, rate, share, and review on Apple Podcasts or other platforms. For questions, comments, or ideas, drop us an email at gradingthenerdpodcast@gmail.com. As always, Anchor members can send us a voicemail. Our theme music was composed by Kevin MacLeod. You can find all of his credits and links in our show notes. Come back for more, and we'll see you next time on Grading the Nerd.